Liberty lovers, and welcome to the Liberty Mike podcast, broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the heart of Dixie. I'm Michael, and I'm here with Liberty Larry.
What's up? We're back.
Yeah, we're back. This time we're back. So sorry about that. I've had an interesting couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I was joking that this is how this would end up beforehand, but and it kind of did. So I went to an allergist for the first time last week.
Yeah.
After I just like randomly broke out into hives, and it was really uncomfortable. I was like bathing in cortisone, and it just wasn't enough.
Dude, hives are no joke, man. I've been there.
It was like head to toe too. It was terrible. And I went to my doctor, and we had talked about doing the allergy test thing years ago because I have so many allergy problems. And, like allergy season's just kind of rough on me anyway. Yeah. And we decided, I cope. So, you know, no big deal. But if I'm going to be like randomly breaking out into hives, then maybe it's time.
That's a problem.
So that's what we decided. Maybe it's time. So I went and did the allergy test for the first time. So the short version is I'm allergic to inside. And I'm allergic to outside. So I guess I'm just going to have to linger in doorways for the rest of my life.
That ain't good, man. Yeah. Got to be something they can do about that.
Yeah. Well, they have the injections. They do little injections, a bunch of injections over a couple of months. And it's supposed to stave off the allergy reaction. It's supposed to help you build up resistance to the allergens.
That's kind of what my diagnosis would be, is maybe if you expose yourself to the stuff enough, you'll like develop an immunity to it.
Yeah, you would think, but one of my allergies was cat hair, and I have two cats.
so this method ain't worked so far.
Yeah, I mean, these two cats have been here since 2011.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So I've had these two cats for like 9 years, and I'm still allergic apparently. And before that, I had another cat for 13 years, and I lived in a house with 5 cats and 3 dogs for a couple of years in there. You would think my exposure at least to that would have been enough to...
Yeah, you would have developed an immunity at some point.
Yeah, right? But apparently not.
What a shame.
Yeah, yeah. I said, well, the cats aren't going anywhere, so what can we do?
Yeah, right? There's got to be another option.
So it was either the injections or I take antihistamines like every day for the rest of my life.
Oof.
I'm allergic to like almost every tree and grass that grows around here. Like pretty much all but everything but pine.
Yeah.
I have like 2 pine trees in my yard, and the rest is all things that I'm allergic to.
That's crazy, man.
I'm not cutting all that down either, because we already don't have enough shade, obviously, in this house, or it wouldn't be so damn hot.
Right.
And my AC wouldn't run all day long this time of year. It rained all day today, so it's not so bad.
But it's been rough this week, man. Yeah. There's been some hot days.
Yeah, like hot 96 days. Degrees day after day. So for those of you that like that kind of weather, come to the coast.
Yeah, move to Lower Alabama. We got it in spades.
So I haven't kept up with news very much.
Yeah.
So tell me about the news.
The biggest thing is probably what's going on in Portland. Like, that really is kind of absorbed at least a lot of what I've seen. There's a lot of different stuff going on in the news. A lot of stuff I don't know. Portland was kind of the thing I felt like we needed to address more than anything.
Okay.
Just because it's...
Well, what's going on in Portland?
the feds are going around, and they're basically... For the most part, I guess, protecting the federal buildings. Mm-hmm. And there's some dispute, which, I mean, they're fully within their right to do that. There's been a lot of reports, and it's really hard to get solid information, but there's been reports, at least, that they're actually taking people off the streets and just, like, without telling them who they are or anything like that, without showing any identification, just kind of grabbing folks and mm-hmm. throwing them in vans.
Well, and okay. Taking them. So I saw one video, and... And that's it. I saw one video of a guy getting picked up off the street, and he offered no resistance and didn't seem remotely surprised. And they may not have said, you know, announced that they're police or whatever. Actually, yeah. I think that the federal units that they have out there are part of the immigration services.
Yeah, because they are. I was going to say they're part of the immigration. And they, the interview I saw where they were talking to, I guess it was a Homeland Security guy, like a high level Homeland, claimed at least that they had insignia on their I mean, they're in camouflage.
Yeah, exactly. They're in fatigues. Yeah. Like desert fatigues or something like that with flak jackets and stuff. It's not like you're like, oh, that's some random guy.
Yeah. Well, you say that, but like living in South Alabama, like I see that running around here a lot.
Well, I see them hiking around here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just talking about like coming in the store, people coming in full fatigues, going out hunting and whatnot. Well, like, I mean, like that's a common sight where I live.
Well,
I do live in a different part of county than you do. So
I see some people that are wearing like flak jackets, but they're usually in shorts and t-shirts and they're just out staying in shape while they're, you know, before they get deployed again. Is
right.
Really what it is, I figure anyway.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the guy said that they did have insignia on their uniforms and whatnot, and that they were supposed to at least identify themselves before they just like throw somebody into a van and whatnot. But it just, part of the reason I kind of wanted to talk about it is it just gives this bad, it gives me this bad feeling of like, okay, if this is now what's going on, what's next? Mm-hmm. What's next? And like, how far is this going to go? Where, you know, your government is just like snatching people off the streets.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that that's anything new, really.
It's not. I mean, but it seems more blatant, I guess.
Well, it's because they're focused on it because it's federal troops, so they can blame Trump.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's, I think, why it's getting so much.
That absolutely focus. Is. And the lines are being drawn because Trump is definitely planning to run on a law and order initiative. Like that's the side that he's positioned himself for this political fight.
Yeah. Which is safe for a Republican.
It is. Well, that's what I was fixing to say. He's not going to get a lot of pushback within his own party on that.
Mm-hmm.
At least not as much as I feel like he should.
Yeah. But, well, okay. So what I know of what's happening there is that these protesters have been like actually not constantly, but actually assaulting a federal courthouse.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in some ways it's like, you know, the Palestinians throwing rocks at the Israelis and getting shot at. But you know, they're like launching fireworks and throwing things and I mean, I don't think it's
just causing trouble in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, the feds did respond initially by setting up additional barriers between the street and the courthouse, and the protesters ripped the barriers down. Now,
and you see, that I'm all for. I'm like, I get protecting your property.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's basically what you're saying the feds are trying to do is, you know, protect their property. And I don't have a problem with that. Like, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Yeah. Well, what's the part that you have a problem with?
Snatching people off the streets.
Well, I mean, what if they committed a crime? Because if they do damage to a federal building, it is a federal crime, and federal law enforcement is within its right to pick you up.
Yeah, I mean, I can sympathize with that too.
And I did hear one of these spokespeople for the feds saying that they're getting no support from local law enforcement to do this kind of thing, so they're having to do it themselves.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at with it is that's as far as like with Trump saying that he wants to send the feds into some of these other cities to control the protests and stuff like that. To me, that's just more of the government at home needs to take care of that. So,
I agree. If I were him, I would say, okay, well, you can't get control of your people.
Yeah.
You need to better figure it out or we'll just watch your city burn.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, that goes back to one of our principles is the government that governs best governs at home. You know, I mean,
what about the government that doesn't actually govern at home?
Well, that's, you know, the people will hold those, the citizens will hold those officials accountable for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe they will, maybe they won't. Maybe the city will just burn.
Mm-hmm.
But if you own property in one of those cities, I think you, and that's part of where the real problem is at. So if you own property in one of those cities, you need to be prepared to defend it. Mm-hmm. Another big issue we're having right now, though, is that law enforcement won't stop the protesters from burning your house down. But if you walk outside with guns ready to protect your house, so they will arrest you for that.
Yeah. Let's try to be conscientious on this podcast about the difference between protesters and rioters.
Yeah. Absolutely. I have no problem with protesters, mm-hmm. with people who are just like protesting Black Lives Matter, anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I do have a problem with people who are burning down buildings and things of that nature. Okay. Like causing property damage. And that's really where the line's at. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
Does the federal government have a role in protecting people's property if the local government won't? Or doesn't? Or can't?
Or can't, yeah. I think at that point it's up to you. I think it's up to the person that owns the property. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's a tough question. I mean, I'm not like married to that idea, but I just have a problem with the federal government going into areas where the citizens aren't welcoming them.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
Let's try and use this incident to talk about like what the proper role of government is.
Yeah.
You say that if the local officials aren't, you know, doing their responsibility in terms of protecting the rights of the people of their constituents.
Yeah.
That the people will remove them and replace them with somebody better.
That's the idea, at least.
Yeah. So we had some voting over here a couple of weeks ago, right? We had the primary, and there is a big debate in libertarian circles about whether you should vote or not, whether you should participate in the system or not. I didn't really have a dog in this fight, so I didn't participate in the primary. Yeah.
I did.
Frankly, I don't really care which of those. I mean, I don't approve of anybody running probably on the Republican or Democrat ticket, at least not anybody that I knew of. And here's one of those things that I wanted to point out.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have the time to research all these people and try and find somebody that I could get behind.
Yeah.
So I abstained.
Well, that's fair.
I think that the problem is that with voting is that, and I've said this for years and years, you remember when I was running for office, two-thirds of the votes cast in the county were straight ticket votes.
Yeah, that's a serious problem.
And for
those
of you that don't understand, in this state, and I don't think it's available in all states. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not.
Yeah.
But in this state,
it isn't a lot, though.
You can check a box at the top of the ballot that says Republican or Democrat. You can check one of these two boxes. Actually, when I was running, it also had Libertarian, even though there were only a couple of Libertarians on the ballot. But there were some.
Yeah.
Most of the time down here, it says either Republican or Democrat. Yeah. And if you circle in that box, you don't have to do anything else on the ballot. You turn in the ballot as is, and whichever box you circled, everybody that's available for that under that party is your vote.
Yeah.
They don't do that in primaries, obviously, because
part of the reason why primaries are so important, because mm-hmm. if you're really wanting to, and let's just say you are a Republican, I'm not, mm-hmm. but if you were a Republican, that's the way you would change the Republican Party. It's through the primary process.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is by moving, and that's part of the reason I did vote in this primary, because I wanted to vote against Sessions.
Okay.
And it just happened to be a football coach named Tommy Tuppervelt that was running against him. So that's who I voted for.
Yeah. I think the position that I always take on this is if everything you know about the candidate is on the ballot, you probably shouldn't vote.
Yeah.
If you got a name and a party and that's all you know about the person, you probably shouldn't vote. And unfortunately, I think that most people vote anyway.
They do.
In fact, we promote constantly that it doesn't matter what you know about the system. You got to get out and vote. Get out and vote. I mean, there are people that that advocate research beforehand, but that's not generally a part of it. They just want you to get out there and vote.
Usually it's always, and it's always get out to vote, and whatever the group is they know that they're marketing their get out to vote campaign towards people who are going to be sympathetic to towards their cause.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually like get out and vote and vote Democrat.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Get out and vote and vote Republican.
And they may not even explicitly say that, but you can tell by who they're marketing it towards.
Well, often they do say that.
Well, they do.
And that's the point. Like the uninformed voter is one of the greatest threats to liberty in a democracy.
I agree.
The uninformed voter is also just like a godsend to these corrupt politicians. You're just helping their cause, really. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because you're continuing to put people in office that have histories that you should know about, and if you did, you probably wouldn't vote for them, but you don't.
But nothing will make people educate themselves more as far as who they're voting for is when there's buildings burning down and people on the streets. People tend to, at least, and it's been my experience in the past month or so, mm-hmm. is that more and more people aren't just like taking the party line. They're educating themselves on who they're voting for because
they're
of
not just taking the party line. Is that
yeah,
what you
yeah,
mean?
They're not. Yeah, okay. They're educating themselves on what's going on, and that may just be. I mean, that is anecdotal because it's just kind of what I've seen personally. Mm-hmm. But I know more and more people that I work with are not only taking an interest in this stuff, but questioning things that they thought were just kind of automatic as far as the parties are concerned.
Okay. Well, that's good. I would love to see more of that. You should like give them some of the books that I've given you that you haven't read.
Right. They may read them.
The idea of this country, like the thing that set the United States apart when it established itself, and it wasn't a new idea. It was just one that there was some cursory attempt to actually enact, was the idea of a government of consent.
Yeah.
This is where we get into like what is the proper role of government, and I think that the founding fathers were clear about that they thought that the purpose of government was to protect the natural rights of the people.
Yeah.
And nothing more.
Which is what we would encourage.
Yeah, protect the natural rights of the people, and you know the natural rights are the things that you can provide for yourself. By the way.
Yeah.
You know, go back and listen to the rights when we put it out about a year ago. Actually, we did it like 2 years before that too, but
we redid it again. Yeah.
You can find it at the Liberty Mic, from about a year ago. And we titled it Liberty Mic Classic on rights.
Yeah.
But the short version is, that anything that requires something from someone else is not a right.
Yeah. Like, right. So healthcare is not a right.
Yeah. Clean water is not a right.
Yeah.
You have the right to procure clean water, but you don't have the right to demand someone else provide it to you.
Yeah.
And even things like the right to an attorney, you know, we talked about it in terms of positive and negative rights, mostly in that program.
Yeah.
But the right to to an attorney is not the right to compel somebody to act as your attorney. it is that the government cannot prevent you from having an attorney.
Yeah.
Although that has been perverted over time, that now they essentially compel people to act as your attorney, and like that's what public defenders are, right?
And we talked about before, I think that's not who you want representing you.
Yeah, that's not ideal. It's not ideal. Here's one of the sticking points of a government of consent, realistically, is that a government can only wield authority granted by the people if it's a government of consent.
Yeah.
And therefore, a government has no more authority than any individual.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, you can't delegate authority to that you don't have to something else.
Okay.
So if I don't have the authority to, say, take your money to provide security for you, then the government doesn't either.
There you go. Okay. So taxation is theft.
Taxation is theft. Now, realistically speaking, in terms of, you know, de facto government, the Civil War essentially established that the subject relationship of the people to the government.
Yeah.
The Civil War essentially established in the idea that a government does not actually require your consent for you to be subject to it in this country.
Yeah.
That you can forcibly subject people to a government that they don't want.
Yeah,
which is what happened to the South after the war.
Yeah, because the whole idea was the South wanted to secede,
right?
And they weren't allowed to,
right?
Like we fought a war over it and lost.
Exactly. And while the one of the primary purposes of seceding for the South may have been to maintain slavery, ending slavery was not one of the primary purposes of the North. Engaging in that war.
Yeah. No, the reason they
engaged, would have been more than happy to maintain slavery if they could have kept the Union together by force and still maintain slavery. Wouldn't have bothered them one bit.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Not one bit.
Yeah.
So it was really about making sure that the federal government had the authority over the whole of the country.
Exactly.
And so... you know, you run into with democracy, like the tyranny of the majority. Oh, and I will go back and say that Lysander Spooner, who's one of the writers that I really like, he said specifically about the Civil War that because of the idea of the government of actually, I guess the tearing down of the idea of a government of consent to making it clear that it wasn't a government of consent, no matter how they claimed that, that by establishing the principle that a government can be subjected upon a people that does not want that government, that the number of slaves in this country was greatly increased rather than greatly diminished.
That's a good quote. I like that.
And because he says that, that, the difference between chattel slavery and political slavery is a matter of degree, not of kind.
Yeah, yeah.
That it still establishes the idea that a group of people can take your property.
Run over you.
Yeah. Take your property without, you know, demand things of you without you having the opportunity essentially to
and
if you don't submit, then you're a traitor.
Exactly.
Or a criminal.
Or a criminal. Yeah, exactly.
So... an interesting side effect of Civil War. And this, no, never mind. So then this is one of the dangers of democracy. Like I said, is that the uninformed voter is kind of perpetuates, the corruption of government.
Yeah.
And I think probably, makes it greater. Besides just perpetuating it, it enlarges the corruption of government. And the truth of the matter is the people will try and push the government in the direction that is most advantageous to them.
Yeah. Well, and that's where you end up in situations like kind of where we're at now, where one group of people are voting the rights or the property away from other groups.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say property, I mean in the form of like taxes and things like that.
Right.
You know, and that's, and they pretty openly do it. Like, I mean, it's, I mean, that's the big mantra of the Democrats is tax the rich, tax the rich.
Yeah.
Like, and that's literally one group wanting to take property away from another group.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and they also have the whole eat the rich thing, which was, I'm not sure if they recognize where that comes from, that it was a satire by Jonathan Swift about,
I'm not aware of this. This is new to me.
He was trying to propose a fallacious response to, issues of poverty.
Yeah.
So they're taking it the other way, but it was still, a satire that he was saying, you know, we'll eat the poor or eat the babies or, you know, I can't even remember exactly what it was, but what he was promoting. But it was like this absurd answer that, I mean, it would have solved the problem, but it was obviously terribly immoral.
Right. Yeah. It's not something you could stand behind.
And yeah. So, but now we get this whole group of, you know, neo-Marxists that are yelling out, eat the rich.
Eat the rich. No, I haven't. I mean, that's new to me. I hadn't heard the eat the rich thing.
No? I've seen people with t-shirts and everything.
Oh, it's really? Like,
yeah.
Oh, wow. This is getting out of hand.
Yeah. Well, and back to Spooner. And this is it. Like, if an individual doesn't have the right, and we would take it as an assumption of natural law that a person doesn't have the right to take away the natural rights of somebody else.
Yeah.
I guess the purpose of in some sense, and I don't advocate for this exactly, but I think that an argument could be made that the purpose of government is to mediate at the margins, essentially, yeah, between people's natural rights where they butt up against each other.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That seems fair. I don't think that a government is necessary,
really,
to do that.
Yeah.
But whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, two men have no more right to exercise authority over one than one to exercise the same authority over two. Man's natural rights are his own against the whole world, and any infringement of them is equally a crime, whether committed by one man calling himself a robber or by millions calling themselves a government.
Yeah. Right.
And so this is where we kind of get into what is the real purpose of government? And the real purpose of government is to ensure people's liberty.
Yeah.
Now, that has been twisted also over time to mean liberty from want. or something like that. And the the Declaration of Independence talks about the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's the pursuit of happiness. It's not happiness. You're not guaranteed happiness.
Right. Yeah.
You're guaranteed that government will stay out of your way in your attempt to try and find that on your own.
Absolutely.
Right. And, you know, who's to say what's good for one isn't good for everyone. And that's kind of the problem that we run into here. Heinlein said something along the lines of that any group, cult, or sect will legislate its beliefs into law if given the political power to do so.
Yeah.
And this is what we're kind of running into, is that a majority of people, or a powerful group of people, or whatever it happens to be, some people that can either through force of numbers or through force, period, legislate or impose their idea of how life should be lived on everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a problem.
Yes.
That's part of the reason democracy doesn't really work.
Yeah. And, you know, this isn't actually an advocation for another form of government either. I mean, I believe in no rulers.
Yeah.
That people can find their own answers. And, you know, in terms of the security thing, using the example of that if I can't take your money forcibly so that I can provide security to you, then neither can the government. Yeah. The idea is that if you feel like you need security, you're perfectly capable with your own money in your pocket to find and negotiate a way to provide that for yourself.
Absolutely.
Either through others or by buying a gun.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we kind of got off track here. Bring us back to the Portland thing, and I'll try and pick it up from there.
I don't know how much more I really have to say as far as Portland goes. It just seems like we're heading down a dangerous road with that. But Trump is dug in. Like, he is all in as far as gonna put, you know, federal troops in these cities and in these places.
Oh, I did think of something, though. I heard an interview with a county commissioner or something like that in Portland.
Yeah.
Who said, who was talking about these protests, and said something along the lines of talking about the feds, that they see it as treason and we call it democracy.
Yeah.
And I think that fits into what I was just talking about, is that that voting, like voting gives you power.
Yeah.
Is the idea.
Yeah.
And
that's your voice.
Yeah. And if you can't if you can't get your way by vote, this is what they're advocating, it seems to me, is that you vote, and if you don't get your way by voting, then you can't, you have the right to use force, and you still call that democracy.
Yeah.
And I think it's just this justification for this weird you know, religious type devotion to the idea of democracy.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, while democracy has worked better than most options,
yeah,
in terms of providing liberty to the people, it certainly hasn't proved foolproof.
No.
Well, and in fact, fools are the real danger, I think, right? To democracy.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, this idea that if you can't get your way one way, then you get your way the other way, and you still call it the same thing. Like, yeah. They were doing the same thing with the statues stuff in the UK. That, you know, one of these statues that they pulled down of like Rhodes or somebody, I can't remember. And I was listening to this interview of this lady who's saying, well, we've been trying for years to get the city council to bring those, we've been campaigning for years to get the city council to remove this statue, and they never did. So we took it down. Like that's the logical follow-up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not the case at all. Like, yeah.
I mean, at least if you believe in the non-aggression principle.
Well, that's just it. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, back to the root. If you don't have the authority, if an individual is invested with the authority to do something, then they cannot grant that authority to a larger group.
Yeah.
Calling itself a government or whatever.
Or whatever it is. Yeah.
Let's see. Let me see if I have any notes that'll tell me where to go from here. Because I kind of wandered off into, yeah, into nowhere. Well, I mean, we can talk about the racism thing some if you want.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's probably related in some ways to a lot of these. It's certainly related to these protests.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of the whole thing. Yeah. And like I say, I'm torn on the whole deal, especially like with the deal with Portland and even with Trump sending out the troops. I mean, I get why you can't have chaos and people out in the streets, but at the same time, it gives this bad feeling of like martial law, and especially when you've got the situation where you've already got people on lockdowns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just feels like you're only a couple of steps removed from Trump using federal forces to keep you in your home and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I think that, well, I see your point there, but it seems to me that Trump has been advocating for the end of these lockdowns.
Yes.
It's been the local authorities that have.
But if Trump loses
really
this election,
to maintain it,
the precedent's already been set for Biden to do the same thing, because Biden's on the other end.
That's true.
And that's what I worry about more than anything. And like I say, it may be an irrational worry. Like it may very well be, because we're not there yet. But it just feels like that just seems to be the beat of the drum that I feel that we're heading towards, you know?
Well, so, I mean, I think that we're already in the police state.
Yeah. Oh, we absolutely, there's no question about that. We already live, it's just the progression of it, you know?
I mean, I think that the problem that you run into with the Portland thing is that these are federal buildings, and while I don't approve of the federal government owning property particularly, they are, you know, by my own standards, they have absolutely the right to defend their property by whatever means necessary.
Yeah.
And I think that if you believe in the authority of the state, then you have to agree with what's going on out there. Yeah. If you agree with the authority of the state, or if you buy into the authority of the state, then the state absolutely has the right to defend its property and to imprison
people,
people that violate yeah. that thing. If you believe in law and order, you're in the same boat.
Yeah.
Now, if you believe in law and order, then we probably have more in common than you realize.
Yeah.
If you believe in the authority of the state, then we probably have less.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, the two aren't mutually inclusive,
yeah.
law and order and the authority of the state.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends on how far you want to extend the idea of what is law.
Yeah.
I mean, legislation doesn't necessarily, I mean, so there's plenty of historical examples of legislation that is absolutely immoral, and there's plenty of it still going on today.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just because a government says it's so or it's right doesn't mean that it is. And this is how we can segue into the, you know, racism thing is that there, yeah. you know, a Supreme Court in this country,
yeah.
Declared that, that people can be property.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like, I mean, it was a long time ago.
But it happened.
But it happened. And it's actually still on the books. And
it shows the whole...
Because they always stick to precedent. They don't ever actually overturn any of that stuff. They just add to it.
Yeah. Well, it just shows kind of the holes in the system as far as that's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know...
Well, and there's, you know, the idea that this is a racist country or that it was founded on racism, I think, is fallacious anyway. There was a real attempt to put an end to slavery in the Constitution. And yeah. there was a real attempt to put an end to slavery in the initial drafts of the Constitution that was, like, explicit.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get the southern states to sign on. And there was more of a danger of losing all the liberty of everybody if
yeah.
they couldn't come to some kind of compromise to... work together as a group
yeah.
because these are, you know, 13 disparate young colonies
yeah.
That are trying to defend themselves against the greatest power in the world at the time.
Oh yeah.
So there, you know, some compromises were made, but one of those compromises, so let's talk about two of those compromises that are brought up. One of them is brought up all the time and one of them, everybody seems to have forgotten.
Yeah.
One is that there is a moratorium set for 20 years after the ratification of the Constitution on slave import.
Yeah.
This was one of the attempts to end slavery.
Yeah.
Like, the idea was that if you can't bring any more slaves over here, that the practice will die out.
Yeah. Just end itself on its own.
Yeah. Obviously, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Of course, there was a whole bunch of both federal... Well, there was a whole bunch of legislation that managed to... to extend the life of the practice in this country. The other thing is the whole three-fifths that, you know, the slaves counted as three-fifths of a person for the purposes of representation in the government in the House of Representatives. Now, they go on and on about this one as like, you know, saying the black people are only worth three-fifths of a person, et cetera. The purpose of that was to ensure that the southern slave-owning states didn't have a disproportionate amount of power at the federal level.
Yeah, right.
Like, the idea was to try and prevent I mean, if they had given full... Full representation based on slavery as well.
For people who weren't allowed to vote.
Yeah. Then there's no way they could have ever brought an end to the practice, ever. Like,
yeah.
there's...
Yeah.
You know, well, I say that. I mean, I think that
morality
catches
out.
Up
yeah.
with people at some point.
Yeah.
You know, the reason for that was to try and prevent the southern slave owning states from having a disproportionate amount of power at the federal level.
Yeah.
And so I think the whole idea of, well, and they talk about Jefferson and Washington being slave owners and so forth. Both these men lived in Virginia. There was a state statute in Virginia, that said that if you held debt, that you couldn't release your slaves, because they were essentially property that could be used to balance that debt if it came to it.
Yeah.
So whether they wanted to or not,
they were bound.
Prevented from doing it by the laws of their state.
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of thing in the South here, like the Jim Crow stuff.
Yeah.
The Jim Crow stuff was government legislation. And I think that it was legislated because it was the only way that they could maintain this real division.
Yeah.
That if you left people to their own devices, that they tend to integrate.
Yeah. Right.
Because, you know, at some point somebody says, well, I don't care, you know, who held that dollar. That dollar's worth just as much in my pocket anyway.
Exactly.
And so the...
It all goes back to economics at some point, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is how they were able to maintain the segregation, is through government legislation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now we have this whole idea of white privilege, which, you know, like a lot of it is that they're looking at divisions in this country and they're assigning, you know, ideas. Well, okay. So there's like the, what do they call it? Intersectionality thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they keep, and the way it's being used right now, it seems to me, is that it's like this, this victimhood Ponzi scheme thing where you just like try to accumulate as many victimhood points as you can.
Yeah.
And you know, that puts you at the top, or, you know, victimhood Olympics or something.
Yeah.
But there are lots of other factors besides, race or ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, like these things that these groups, that the social justice warrior groups have fixated themselves upon, that have an impact on where you end up in life.
Yeah.
And I would posit that the whole idea that you can make a bunch of assumptions about a person based on any of those things is in itself like incredibly prejudiced.
It's horrible. Yeah. Like that's not how any of this is supposed to work.
You know, but there's lots of other factors, education, home life, wealth. I mean, certainly the economics is a factor in this stuff, that can be far more predictive, including like personality trait stuff.
Yeah.
That can be far more predictive about where somebody's going to end up in life,
yeah,
than race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, like these things that we're so focused on. And when you talk about white privilege, like, I mean, to me, it just seems, we were talking before the podcast got started, about the thing that the National Museum of African American Heritage and Culture, a Smithsonian thing, they put out this little thing, they took it back down relatively quickly.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, these things that show your white privilege. And it was a whole bunch of factors, like, you know, the idea that if you work hard, you can achieve your goals. And if you didn't get there, it's because you didn't work hard. And that the nuclear family is the most important family unit, you know, mother, father, kids. And like some of these things were things that are like way older than Northern European culture.
Yeah.
And some of them, it was just like, well, what is the alternative that you think?
That was the question I was asking you when we were looking at it and discussing it. It was like, okay, like if you want to believe that, that's one thing, but what's the opposite of this? Like what's the reverse of that? Like, I mean,
I'm not opposed to polyamory, but like, as long as it's consensual.
Yeah. Right.
But, I mean, it's the idea that this is, okay, so this is what I think a lot of it comes down to. So it's white privilege in this country, but what about in countries where whites aren't the majority?
Yeah.
Like, is there white privilege in Japan?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I don't think so.
No. And you have all classes of people in Japan too.
Yeah. But you know, Japanese are actually like historically very closed culture.
Yeah.
You know, I imagine that there's a bit of a Japanese privilege in Japan. Like, essentially, you're talking about the privilege of the majority.
Yeah.
Right? And this is, you know, and these are the same people that think that democracy is the answer.
Yeah.
I mean, democratic socialism, but democracy still.
But it's still got democracy in it. Yeah.
Right. And so I think that these are competing ideas. Like,
yeah.
If you're opposed to the privilege of the majority, how can you also be on board with democracy?
Yeah.
Because essentially what you're saying is whatever the majority chooses is what wins.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to what you were saying earlier. Well, if we don't get our way at the ballot box, we'll just loot the streets until we get it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll use force to achieve our goals instead.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that there's never a time for that, but I don't think this is it.
Yeah, exactly.
not just yet.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, like everybody faces challenges.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your race or gender or sexual orientation, like everybody faces challenges. And I think that it is far from certain that any group for any of those kind of arbitrary reasons faces more or greater challenges than any of the other groups.
Yeah.
I mean, it may be the case that one of those things does make you face more or greater challenges, but it's far from apparent.
Yeah.
And I think that I think that the idea of a special grievance, right? You understand what I mean by that?
Yeah.
I think the idea of a special grievance seems more of an impediment to advancement than promotion of advancement.
Yeah.
I think that it's very damaging to a person to give them a whole bunch of outs, a whole bunch of excuses as to why things didn't work out for them.
Yeah.
And I think that it creates more challenges for a person to be able to put everything up to something that's completely outside of their control. Yeah. And it's not to say that everything is under your control either, but it gives you an excuse not to take control of your own life.
There's part of the problem I have with the whole Black Lives Matter movement and this whole deal is they're not really focused on the real problem. So like they're focused on all of these like microaggressions and statues and things like that. Mm-hmm. But there are parts of this country and like, I mean, you go to Pritchard or you go to any of these areas mm-hmm. that, well, these people have real problems. Like, if you're born and live in those areas, it's hard to get out of those areas.
Absolutely.
And that's not part of this discussion at all.
Well, and there have been, if you listen to Thomas Sowell talk about these things, and I recommend that everybody do, go YouTube Thomas Sowell, like, the guy's fascinating and funny.
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
Right. He is.
But, you know, he talks about growing up in Harlem in the 50s and how they used to sleep outside on the porches and leave their doors unlocked, and there wasn't a serious crime problem, and most of the families were together. And he got a really good education at his local public school, and all of that has changed, and it's changed with the war on poverty.
Yeah.
The poverty was already decreasing before the war on poverty, started. And since the war on poverty started, it's maintained a pretty steady rate. And it goes back to one of those things, again, that you can't rely on government because government creates perverse incentives.
Anytime government starts throwing its money at a problem, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of maybe where you're going with this. I don't know. But I mean, it definitely makes sense that once the government starts providing all of these benefits that things get worse. I mean, you look at like student loan debt, mm-hmm. like that's as soon as you get the government involved in this practice, it becomes a like out of hand and a problem.
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. And the part that I wanted to focus on here is the perverse incentives. So the government itself doesn't have any incentive to end whatever it is they're fighting.
Yeah.
Right. Like the program ends if the problem ends. Yeah. So if you want to maintain the program, you got to maintain the problem.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. And then on the other side of it, if you look at the family structure thing, of course, apparently the nuclear family is a white supremacist ideal or something, but,
is it still white supremacist if I think everyone should do it? Like, I mean,
yeah, because it's your culture, I guess, or something.
Am I forcing my culture on other people? Is that what I'm doing?
That's exactly what you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing. But, and I don't think that it was all intentional either.
Yeah.
So I would hope that the people that started providing government support for single mothers, as an example, were doing it because they really wanted to help out these few, relatively speaking, poor women who had lost their husbands one way or another.
Yeah.
Or lost their men one way or another, I guess.
Doesn't necessarily have to be a husband. Yeah.
Yeah. And they really wanted to help them out. But what they have done is they've created an incentive to be a single parent.
Exactly.
And then you wonder why, men are out of control or whatever, like this idea of the toxic male. Well, could it be that they didn't have a good male role model?
Yeah.
Because the government has incentivized
not having that.
Yeah, not having the guy around, because you can get more money if there is no there is no male role model in the house.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. But back to the I guess back to the root of that discussion. That the idea that there's privilege just in being white, I think, can be, demonstrably falsified.
Yeah.
And this is like a really sad note to end this podcast on. Unfortunately, I think this is going to be the last thing. But I pulled up a while back because I was trying to look for some kind of evidence of this. And I pulled up suicide rates in the U.S. by race.
Okay.
And this is per 100,000 citizens. The ethnic group at the top is, the Amero-Indian, indigenous peoples, group.
Okay.
44.5 suicides per 100,000.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like a lot, but
I guess when you're
it's at the top of the list,
I guess so. They're number one. Yeah.
Yeah. The next group was, white.
Really?
36.
Yeah.
And then under that you have Hispanic, which was 30, but almost half of those identify as white also. They're like white people with Hispanic backgrounds. So if you add those, then the white people is the biggest, like the highest suicide rate at 50 roughly, per 100,000.
Yeah.
Black and Asian were both at 14.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm.
So, I would suggest
that is interesting.
Yeah. I would suggest a couple of things that, just being white does not make it an easy life for you.
Yeah.
All right. That there is some danger in the pressure of high expectations.
Yeah.
And I think that suicide rates can be, some measure of that to some degree. But like the idea that you have it particularly bad because of whatever group you classify yourself into, I think doesn't do you any good.
No, it's no way to change what's going on.
Yeah.
Focus
on what you can control.
Your own. Yeah. You control your own destiny. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big believer in that. You can control some of these outcomes. You may not can control everything around you, but you can control how you respond to it.
Yeah. And it will take a certain level of self-reflection. When things don't work out for you, instead of throwing it off into some factor that was outside of your control, examine the factors that were in
what
your control
you
and think
do.
You might have been able to do differently.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, that's the only thing you can control is yourself. You can't control the outside factors, but you can control how you respond to them. Mm-hmm. And that's the best. If you
can control how you prepare for the next.
Yeah, absolutely.
The next problem.
Absolutely.
Or the next opportunity, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So actually that was a relatively positive way to end.
So we rounded that out. Look at us.
that's it for now. We expect to be back on a regular schedule Thursday or Friday.
Softball's over, so that's no longer a factor, at least for a few weeks. They're already doing sign-ups for fall ball. So.
So this is kind of unrelated. This is just like my own neuroses or whatever. You pointed out to me the review that we had on iTunes where, and the person gave us a five stars. So this isn't all bad, but I was kind of taken aback by this line in there where they said something like, Michael says a couple of things that aren't quite true or something like that, in every episode. And, I'm kind of curious about that. So if that person, hopefully that person's still listening because they gave us five stars.
Yeah.
My email is michael@thelibertymike, and this goes for everybody.
Yeah.
First, let me say that, that I will not lie on this podcast. I may be wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm certainly not. I don't know that they intended this, and I doubt that they did, but the use of the word truth makes it sound like that I'm intentionally falsifying something.
Yeah.
And that's certainly not the case. Like I said, I may be wrong, but I'm not lying.
Yeah.
like if you have better information than me, I am always open to it. Like yeah. I read constantly. I'm happy to learn things. If you got another perspective that you don't think I understand, email me, Michael@thelibertymike.com.
Yeah.
Or you can, you know, post something on Facebook, or you can PM Liberty Mike on Facebook, or can you PM the page?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So, yeah, so absolutely. Yeah, you can,
it's there.
Yeah. You can message the page. I mean, I'm not real good about checking it, but, Liberty Larry will tell me if there's something I'm there on there. That I need to respond to.
I feel like, yeah, I check it. I'm on there a fair amount. So if there's something that I think Mike needs to get involved with, I've got his line too.
Yeah. So anyway, I was just kind of taken aback by that. You may disagree with my analysis or my interpretation, but I feel like I'm pretty solid on the facts that I present.
Yeah.
On this podcast.
Definitely do your homework before we discuss a subject. I'll say that.
Yeah. But if you disagree, if you have better information than me, I am open to it. So please contact.
And at some point in the near future, I need to get on there and kind of figure out how it's done, but I want to set up a private Facebook page.
Oh yeah. That might be important too, because, Facebook has muted my posts a couple of times.
Well, and if we have our own private group, and that's something that I'd like for the private group to be, is to be able to kind of listeners and people and our friends and people like that can actually go in there and we can have a discussion on some of these things.
Yeah, sure.
And kind of like an open forum where some of these things can be discussed and hammered out, and, you know.
I mean, I like these kind of situations because nobody can argue with me.
Yeah. Well, but it gives people that listen to the show kind of a forum to, you know, say what they think about what we think and things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And provide new information to us just generally. We used to have a couple of listeners that with some regularity would send, I don't know about you, but at least would send me articles and things like that.
Or
topic suggestions, things like that. And I really appreciate that. Sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
And we had one long-term listener just tell us point blank that they only listened to a few minutes of the last episode because they were so tired of coronavirus.
Yeah.
I will say that if you can get past the first few minutes, we mostly talked economics on that podcast, but...
We did.
But I get it.
But it's economics based around the coronavirus, and I get being overloaded with that because it's...
Yeah. I'm tired of it too.
We all are. Like.
And, so. You know, now we have a mask requirement here.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's one thing I don't want to talk about is mask. Like, that's something I have heard everybody on this planet's opinion on, and I'm just over it.
Yep, yep. So we won't do it now. We're just going to close things out. So,
absolutely.
We'll be back. We plan to be back in a week. This is one of the things that they might have thought that I was saying was not quite true, is like when I say when the next podcast will be.
Yeah.
Or
that's always a shot in the dark.
When I say next time we'll get it right, because, you know.
We're still working on that one, too.
but we intend to be back here in about a week. In the meantime... you know, follow us on Facebook and subscribe on iTunes and Podbean. Like and share. That really helps.
It does.
We appreciate the reviews, even the ones that say I'm a liar. we plan to be back in a week when we finally get this right. And in the meantime, try and stay free.
Life's short. Live free.
Ciao.
Later.